This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
And what do you think is happening now?
I think it's being stomped on.
That woman at a stay-at-home order protest in Ohio wants to see the economy reopened.
The cure is worse than the disease.
Some states, such as Georgia, have begun easing their stay-at-home orders and reopening the economy. But at the other end of the spectrum, in New York City, legislation's expected to be introduced today to shut down city streets to traffic during the lockdown. It would close 75 miles of streets in all five boroughs, allowing room for social distancing. President Trump will sign an executive order later today that he says will initiate a 60-day pause in immigration because of the pandemic, but would only apply to people seeking green cards to become permanent U.S. residents. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever watched a video on the Internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying the key to reopening the country after the coronavirus pandemic is testing, and getting more testing available is key to that. The California Democrat saying she's pleased that, in her words, Senate Republicans finally came around to passing the latest COVID-19 legislative package, which features loans for small businesses.
We're very pleased that the Senate finally accepted the fact that we needed more money for testing, for hospitals, for smaller businesses to participate in the Paycheck Protection Program.
Pelosi spoke on MSNBC. Republicans saw it differently, claiming Democrats were holding up the passage of that measure. All three major stock indexes up more than 1.5% in morning trading on Wall Street after a couple of days of steep declines again. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Missouri's Attorney General Eric Schmidt now suing the Chinese government for withholding information about COVID-19. The lawsuit alleges that the Chinese government's actions to suppress information about the virus led to more deaths and severe economic consequences in Missouri, among other places. In a press release, Schmidt says the Chinese government lied to the world about the danger and contagious nature of COVID-19, silenced whistleblowers, and did little to stop the spread of the disease. It's unlikely that high school seniors in America will be going to their proms this year, so Olive Garden wants to help, at least a little. The restaurant chain is now asking the class of 2020 to send in pictures of themselves in their prom attire via social media, and Olive Garden will then edit those photos with different themed backgrounds, and they'll get some sort of an undisclosed surprise back in the mail. Michael Jordan is donating all the proceeds from the Last Dance docuseries Forbes reporting the NBA legend is set to make between $3 to $4 million for that ESPN series, focusing on the Chicago Bulls' 1997 and 1998 season. The first two parts of The Last Dance premiered over the weekend. Jordan hasn't yet said what charities he'll be donating to. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And we're going to start off with Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. Always the voice of calm, peace, and reason. Don't you like that I put that all on you?
What a compliment. Very nice. Thank
you,
Bill.
You are. I always appreciate your perspective and balance here.
Likewise.
Because every once in a while, it does get to me as you and I continue to filter out this information that we're being pulverized with. And as we were talking just a moment ago, the challenge is, you know, getting down to the truth of the matter. You know, it's, you know, the Chinese are telling us one thing, other indices are that, you know, we're getting worked here. You know, we were told at one time hundreds of thousands to maybe 200,000 people are going to be dying. We were envisioning body bags out in the street. And here it is. You know, Trump had originally said aspirationally that maybe by Easter we'd be able to go into the next phase. And it looks like he might be closer to right than wrong in that.
Well, I hope he is. I hope we get back to normal sooner than later. But I think one thing nobody wants to see is to have another uptick because everyone goes back to normal life too soon. And that is the consensus of experts that I've at least heard on this. And, you know, the numbers, we talk about the numbers and the modeling, but what really is still important is just that people's everyday lives are being so affected by this and their finances and the economy, and they feel it. So whether it's 50,000 people or 100,000 people, it's too many people. We want to do as well as we can, and people are hurting, and that's the real metric that matters.
Well, I think when you talk about social hygiene and distancing and some of these things that we've been forced to enact, we should have been enacting those a long time ago when you look at the flu virus and how many people die routinely every year. Businesses aren't stopped. The government isn't stopped. You know, they're probably going to end up with about, I mean, already it's over 60,000 have perished from the flu, both strains A and B. We're probably saying now maybe about 30,000 we may end up, you know, with COVID-19. But the takeaway for me, Lauren, is that no doubt life is going to change. We're not going to necessarily be huggy-touchy, handshaking like we were in the past. Social distancing will be the order of the day, no doubt.
I think that's true. I think we're going to have to take a hard look at preparedness, and that's something the federal government is going to have to spend a lot of time on, and then people with their everyday routines will change. And, you know, to the credit of people across the U.S., we were so worried at the beginning of these guidelines that we wouldn't have high compliance, but we have. And that's really the reason Dr. Fauci and others have said that we aren't seeing the numbers that we expected, because people have been paying close attention in, and they've been following the rules for the most part, and everyone's chipping in.
Exactly. Well, this is America. This is what we do. I mean, we realize that it starts with each individual citizen in self-responsibility. You know, if we're managing ourselves, then, you know, our family will follow. You know, the community is in a sense kind of self-policing. You know, they don't want people to go out there and take risk and put their family at risk. And so, you know, they're calling people out, and as a result, that's what you have when you have compliance, is you get a little bit of the communal compliance pressure, right?
That's right. And, you know, and one thing I hope does come out of this, you know, both at a national and local level, is just we need to reward governments more and politicians more for preparing and for successes that we can't necessarily observe, rather than just crisis response after crisis response, because we don't often see the really hard work and planning that goes on behind the scenes, but we should look for it and we should highlight it in the media, because that's really what we should be rewarding office holders for, is what is your plan for the next time something like this happens, and how are you going to protect me ahead of time, whether you're in office or not, right? We just need to be a little more farsighted. I hope we can be.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, we spoke with an expat in Taiwan. She's an attorney, and she survived the quarantine area. They were out of it in about 4 to 6 weeks, and the big takeaway from the conversation with her that I got, Lauren, was that Taiwan learned a lot from the SARS virus that went out, and they really tooled up and were very proactive. So things were already in play and in operation, like, you know, massive checking of people, of their temperature, PPE equipment, all this sort of thing, because of what they experienced from SARS. And I'm going, wait a minute, the United States, we experienced that. Why didn't we take away similar action points like Taiwan? Taiwan certainly, you know, a lot smaller, only 21, 23 million people.
That's important.
But also a smart move on their part. And to your point about acknowledging smart people for, you know, doing smart things, you know, that's important. But, you know, I thought that was an important takeaway from my conversation with Juanita Ingram.
Yes, and, you know, sometimes the way our government is designed prevents things from happening very quickly, and that's how the founders intended it. They wanted people to negotiate and think about things, and they wanted divided government to be forced to work together. But in a national health crisis, we do have to get the wheels turning much faster, and so it's sort of an exception to that rule. But to your point about international cooperation, it made me just think about that. I think Trump has an opportunity here with the wet market to really be an international leader on stopping those, because experts have said, and it shouldn't be controversial, because experts have said that, you know, this disease came from wet markets and that practice needs to end. And so I do think it's a unique issue where there's animal rights activists behind it and health activists behind it, and then people who just want us to tighten up these restrictions and stop practices that put everyone in danger. And that's just what the research shows. And I think there's a real chance there for a cross-cutting issue where many different people agree.
I would agree, Lauren, that wet markets should be out. I think what we're finding out, though, is there's a little bit more behind it, and maybe there's some misinformation coming from the CCP regarding the wet markets. They want us to believe that it originated there, but what we're finding out in 2018, our government was involved in research for this virus and realized that it was too dangerous, so they stepped away. The Chinese continued on with this, and according to the latest report, this research was being done out of the Wuhan laboratory. So their alleged statement that it came from bats does not seem to be substantiated, furthered by the investigation of the wet markets and what they were selling at the time. And they said bats were not on the menu at the time.
Right, but just the practice and the sanitation surrounding it is really dangerous.
Oh,
and so whether
I
you're
agree.
Talking about this outbreak or others which have been caused, it's just, it is something I think there needs to be accountability on internationally and pressure applied. And you know, our administration is in a difficult position right now because they're negotiating with China and collaborating with them on certain things, but we do still need to be tough on China and hold them accountable for certain practices. And I hope we're held accountable for our practices, but it's just one where there has been sufficient research for some action and proactive planning.
I would agree. For the most part, it's a no-brainer. We've got more from Dr. Lauren Wright after this. Stay with us.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Bill Martinez.
People hang on his every word, even the prepositions. He could disarm you with his looks or his hands. Either way, He can speak French in Russian. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Phil Martinez Live.
Fresh and independent we are as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and our conversation continues with Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. No doubt when the final analysis is registered on this, Dr. Wright, that there are going to be some no-brainer activities, whether it's social hygiene, whether it's, to your point, regarding the wet markets. I mean, the fact that this has been going on for so long, and this is not the first time we've had a problem from the wet markets, is it?
It's not. You know, there have been several instances, and, you know, I think this issue has been politicized recently, and it's a highly sensitive issue, and I understand that. But just if you look at the research and look at experts on this, health experts and researchers, there seems to be a consensus that this is a real problem, and it does put people at risk. But I think you're right. Life will change. I think more people will wear masks and gloves and will be much more careful. And so, you know, I look forward to the time where we are looking back at this, but we still have an uphill battle for now, it seems.
Well, no doubt, like in any crisis, opportunity is in the midst of it. And hopefully we take full advantage of the opportunity. After all, this is going to be at the expense of some, 20,000-30,000 American citizens. I think we owe it to them to draw the most out of this crisis as possible. And when I say draw it out, you know, the good, bad, the ugly, but obviously at the end of the day that we're better as a result of the investment of humanity and the cost to our government, our labor force, and our economy.
I agree. I hope there can be a silver lining from a preparedness standpoint. And I do think we're starting to see some collaboration between Congress, which shows people, hopefully, that Congress can get over partisan divides and help people in a crisis. But people are watching very closely what they're doing in the House and the Senate, so they need to be aware.
They have no choice because they're going to pay for it real soon.
That's right.
Come the elections. Speaking of which, President Trump was kind of chiding Biden and Obama the other day and saying, you know, what's up? I mean, you know, here we've got Bernie Sanders out. Why is former President Obama holding back from endorsing Joe Biden?
Well, I think it's a time where everyone's focused on coronavirus, frankly, and I think Joe Biden is sensitive to that, and President Obama is sensitive to that, and I wish President Trump would be more sensitive to that and stop attacking Chris Wallace and Democrats and just this really unnecessary personal attack mode that he goes into that hurts him. And, you know, his supporters will surely criticize me for criticizing the administration, but it's for everyone's interest who's on President Trump's side. You don't want him to shoot himself in the foot either, presumably.
Right. Well, it's been 3 years of this. Some of it, I think, has been amusing, you know, for his own self-amusement. You know, but the other part, I'm like you. I shake my head. And, why do you have to bring that into play here? Is it that just that New Yorker state of mind, that kind of orneriness that you just need to, you know, pick on something or someone, you know, and that kind of deal? And but no doubt, with Joe Biden right now losing a lot of the headlines, I mean, to the point that Governor Cuomo getting more notoriety than he as the presumptive nominee for the Democratic presidential nomination, he needs a bit of a breakthrough, you know, to bring him back to the forefront, because even his statements, you know, about the coronavirus, I think that, you know, give Donald Trump some credit. He said that he had a very positive phone call with Joe Biden, heard what he said, would consider some of the suggestions that the vice president had made. You know, and I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, like you said. Okay, there's going to be a jab there somewhere, but he didn't. He kept it pretty positive.
Well, I'm glad. And, you know, and Joe Biden is in a tough position because he's not in government right now. Andrew Cuomo, in real time, has a chance to show his leadership skills. skills. President Trump, in real time, has a chance to show his leadership skills, and he takes away from that so much when he blames and when he lies and when he says, I'm not responsible. And that's something that I just have... You know, I really haven't seen a president do that before.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not the typical president coming from the typical woof and warp from where we've drawn presidents before, whether it be the military, former congressmen, governors. He came out of nowhere, and I think that's what makes it challenging, I think, for all of us, you know, the good, bad, and ugly of Donald Trump, you know, to sometimes swallow because, like I said, I find myself shaking my head and going, why? You know, it's so unnecessary. You're looking good here, and then you shoot yourself in the foot. I also wanted to bring up, you had some insight in terms of, you know, speaking of the Trump White House right now, a lot of changes going on. What are we to make of what's happening in the East Wing?
There are a lot of changes, and the East Wing, I think, doesn't get enough attention. And, you know, my first book was all about just the importance of first ladies for White House and campaign messaging, and Melania Trump is no different. So I've seen her get more active recently. She's making these public service announcements. She's talking about masks. Those are the kinds of things first ladies excel at, and it's really because they're in a unique position. People don't view them as much as partisan players. They're still seen as outsiders, and they're seen, as unofficial members of the administration, which they are. But Melania Trump has been reluctant to take on that kind of role. So I'm really interested with her staff changes to see if maybe there's a change. And sometimes that happens between the first and second terms of an administration. First ladies get more strategic with their public responses. So I still say, you know, she has not been out and has not communicated as often with the public as her predecessors, but she has a lot of those attributes that do make first ladies successful. And, you know, it's an unfair expectation, but she's in the best possible position to push forward the administration's agenda. Mm-hmm. And so it's one area, again, where the Trump administration is not typical. She has not been an active advocate on behalf of her husband's policies.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think she's an underused asset because the times when she comes out, yes, that people have taken unfair shots of her and stuff like that, but she... But she takes it. I mean, she handles it. She's, as we would say in the vernacular, she's a big girl. And she's very classy about how she, how she conducts herself. And, I think she gets positive marks, from everyday Americans. And, I agree with your point. I think that President Trump needs to utilize her as an asset and, what she can do in terms of being able to offer some encouragement to the people.
Yeah, and, it's only if she wants to. And I'm teaching a class on women in politics right now, and we're talking a lot about this. But, to expect first ladies to drop everything they're doing and go out and be a soldier for the administration is a gendered expectation, and that's not fair.
Right.
But when they do it, they're highly effective. So it's a really tough position. But, Melania, she still has the highest popularity of anyone in the administration. She still, according to my research, is able to mobilize independents more than any other surrogate that I've seen. And so we will see whether she wants to make the sacrifice to play that role. But if she doesn't, it's still a sort of contribution to future first ladies who might look at her and say, I can do what I want and I might not have to take on that role. She's an interesting figure in a lot of ways.
And oh, by the way, she's still raising a son, right?
Right. And I think that's actually one of the many perspectives she has that would make her an effective messenger because she has that shared experience with millions of Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about 50 seconds left, Lauren. Real quick, when do you see the opening of the government and small businesses start to open up for business again? We do need to be careful, and I appreciate your example. Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. Lauren, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
And what do you think's happening now?
I think it's being stomped on.
That woman at a stay-at-home order protest in Ohio wants to see the economy reopened.
The cure is worse than the disease.
Some states, such as Georgia, have begun easing their stay-at-home orders and reopening the economy. But at the other end of the spectrum, in New York City, legislation's expected to be introduced today to shut down city streets to traffic during the lockdown. It would close 75 miles of streets in all five boroughs, allowing room for social distancing. President Trump will sign an executive order later today that he says will initiate a 60-day pause in immigration because of the pandemic, but would only apply to people seeking green cards to become permanent U.S. residents. This is USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your throne. The fight, the fight, your gold. You've come so far, keep going. Here comes the comeback.
Bill Martinez.
Back with you, America, just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, it's right there, BillMartinezLive.com. And we're happy to be coming to you live Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Robert Riley joins us now. He's the director of the Westminster Institute. In his 25 years of government service, he served as special assistant to the president and as director of the Voice of America. He was also senior advisor for information strategy to the Secretary of Defense and taught at National Defense University. Robert, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Bill. Great to be with you.
Well, congratulations on your book, America on Trial, which is an interesting title. But you really wanted to, you know, let's go back to the roots of America and take a look at its underbelly and come up with some evaluation, right?
Yeah, well, I think that the occasion for doing this is that a number of people, and most particularly Christians, Catholics, are saying that we're in the morally degraded condition we are today. Rampant pornography, abortion, so-called same-sex marriage, dissolution of the family. because the founding itself had these radical Enlightenment principles of individual autonomy that are now finally playing themselves out. So their case is that we're in this trouble because of the founding.
Mm-hmm.
And well, my book... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say is that, you know, self-responsibility is the core at this. But, you know, sometimes when people hear, you know, freedom, they think it's unleash freedom, that there's no boundaries. I mean, there's thing, you know, the definition, by very definition of freedom, is that it is it operates within certain boundaries. It cannot be you know, unaccountable. It cannot be without restraints, because then the whole concept and the foundation of freedom erodes, does it not?
I think you're exactly right. So the issue that I'm addressing in my book is that misconception of freedom, meaning license,
mm-hmm. Yes.
In the founding itself, was it a poison pill with a time release, and we're now its victims? Or is this misconception of freedom the license that we're seeing, an abrogation of the founding? Now, we've had a number of Supreme Court decisions, particularly with Justice Anthony Kennedy, on abortion, mm-hmm. on the constitutionality of acts of sodomy, and then, of course, on same-sex so-called marriage, all based on a notion that it appears in the judgments from the court, the autonomy of the individual. This phrase appears nowhere in the founding, in any founding document, in the Constitution or the Declaration. So where did it come from? Now, some of the conservative critics today who are blaming the founding for this kind of degenerate development claim that it is there, and in my book I challenge them, find it, and
mm-hmm. yes.
and I show that the evidence is negligible, whereas on the other hand, the founding conforms to exactly the conception of freedom, Bill, that you were laying out, mm-hmm. freedom with responsibility, freedom under the law, freedom aimed at, human flourishing, which means the development of virtue. The founders were unanimous in saying this republic, would survive only to the extent that the citizenry of the United States was virtuous.
Exactly. Exactly. Where is that virtue sourced from?
They were pretty much unanimous in saying that religion is the principal source of virtue, and therefore religion was to be encouraged in the American people, not sequestered and sidelined, as has been the misconception in many court decisions today, where it turns into a discrimination against the very source of virtue on which the republic depends.
Exactly.
Bill, one other thing. When people say this in the Declaration of Independence, we have these rights to inalienable rights, mm-hmm. to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, those who misinterpret the founding say, see, there it is, the pursuit of happiness. Now, happiness can be whatever a person says it is. Perhaps they're path to happiness is chemical, so they take drugs. Perhaps it's orgiastic, so they indulge in all kinds of sex outside of the marital bond. Mm-hmm. And they try to use this as the excuse for license. But I point out in George Washington's first inaugural address, he spoke of, and I quote, the indissoluble union of virtue and happiness, unquote.
Yes.
So what the Declaration and the pursuit of happiness means is the pursuit of virtue. Again, the founders were unanimous in saying that virtue was the bedrock of happiness. And happiness, as Aristotle, as Thomas Aquinas, as every great thinker of the Western tradition said, the end of man is happiness. And as Aristotle said, and did, as did our founders, virtue is the foundation of achieving that happiness.
Exactly. Well, in those three, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, it comes with responsibility. Every right comes with responsibility. It's like right now what we're dealing with the coronavirus. You could say, okay, well, I have this right. I don't need to wear a mask. I don't need to be sensitive to social distancing and hygiene and that sort of thing. And I don't need to worry about older people. We would say automatically that's irresponsible. So in the context of what our founding fathers had in mind is there is responsibility with every right that runs alongside of it. You cannot disconnect self-responsibility from each of the rights that are enumerated in our Constitution.
Well, you know, it says in the Declaration that these rights come from the laws of nature and of nature's God.
Exactly.
Therefore, there is no legitimate exercise of those rights in actions that are contrary to those laws of nature and of nature's God. And it is through those that we know what constitutes virtue, what is vice, what actions deform the human being, and what actions lead to hurt human flourishing.
Exactly.
Again, it's inescapable that those rights come with moral duties and cannot be exercised outside of them.
Well, I tell people, if you think not and you think the law of gravity is an exception, go test it and you'll find out the hard way. The law of gravity still works. It's still in play. There's no doubt about it. We've got more coming up from Robert Riley. Stay with us right here with Bill Martinez.
This is Dan Perkins with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. Do you remember where you were on February 23rd, 1945? A bunch of Marines were lifting a flag on Iwo Jima. The battle lasted 36 days, killing 5,931 Marines. Additionally, 209 Navy corpsmen and surgeons assigned to the Marines died, as well as soldiers, sailors, and airmen from other units. More than 110,000 Marines, sailors, soldiers, and airmen served, with more than 26,000 killed or wounded. So here's your veteran's tip of the day. As you walk by an American flag, stop for a moment and think of the tens of thousands of soldiers and sailors, airmen and Marines who were killed or wounded in those days in February of 1945. You will be better for thinking of them. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, former special assistant to President Ronald Reagan, Robert Riley, continues with us. We're talking about his newly released book, America on Trial. And, Robert, you brought up some, you know, very poignant points that I hope our audience has caught here. Because when we talk about, you know, the rights and responsibilities, again, whenever you say rights, I just feel that you have to, you know, bring it in the context of responsibilities as well. You cannot have one without the other. That is what our founding fathers understood. And though they didn't spend a lot of time, because at that time in the culture, that seemed to be pretty academic, did it not?
Well, yeah, they couldn't imagine the exercise of rights outside of the duties, and the fact that these rights were God-given precisely meant that you could not behave in a way in terms of those rights which denied the source of them, which is God.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States at the time of the founding was an overwhelmingly Christian nation, and there was a complete unanimity as to what these things mean and mm-hmm. meant.
Yes.
And it is only through the degeneration in education, the idea today that there are no transcendent, immutable truths, that therefore we can adjust the Declaration's principles and the Constitution to what we take to be our current values, because
right.
there really are no transcendent truths. That's contrary completely to the American founding.
Well,
so the case of my book, Bill, is the recovery of this nation requires a return to the founding principles, not a denial of them, not a denigration of them.
Well, certainly, when you look back historically in our country and how we've missed the mark, and even in the modern era after President Barack Obama made the statement to the world that America was no longer a Christian country, and it's quite interesting because even today, over 60% of Americans consider themselves to be Christian. So 2/3, roughly, of America identifies with Christianity, and yet they've been muzzled to where they've been kicked out of
the marketplace. They have little relevance. And I say shame on us because, you know, God made it clear that we're to be salt and light. So what happened? What happened to us Christians that our light has become so dim and our salt of so little value that it doesn't preserve or make people thirsty for these values, these founding principle values that our founding fathers knew about when they came up with this idea of the Great American Experiment?
Well, you know, Obama said something else that was very, very damning. Excuse me. He said the American Constitution and the American founding contained no immutable principles.
Wow.
So he was denying exactly the foundation of the country and what the founders had meant when they said that what they were doing was based upon transcendent, immutable truths. Now, why did President Obama say that? Because as he began his term, he pronounced his objective as fundamentally transforming the United States. And in order to do that, he had to, adjust is an understatement, his understanding of the American founding. Excuse me, if I quote exactly from Barack Obama's The Audacity of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is audacious because here's what he says. Open quotes. Implicit in the Constitution's structure and the very idea of ordered liberty was a rejection of absolute truth. The infallibility of any idea or ideology or theology or ism. And any tyrannical consistency that might lock future generations into a single, unalterable course. Unquote. In other words, the truth does not set you free. The truth enslaves you. Therefore, freedom requires the rejection of objective truth, which gets us to where we are today.
Exactly.
And which can explain the moral obscenity of President Barack Obama speaking at Planned Parenthood, the greatest abortion provider in the United States, and saying to the assembled Planned Parenthood crowd, God bless you. One can only say that to these abortionists if indeed there are no immutable truths, including the inalienable right to life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how total an inversion has taken place in this country under the aegis of presidents Barack Obama, who denies the fundamental founding principles of the United States.
And how can you ask people, how can you ask God to bless something that is not worthy of his blessing?
Well, that's a violation of the sanctity of human life.
Yeah, exactly.
Inviolable. It's a sacredness of the individual.
It's a violation of God's character and who God is. I mean, it's heretical. And Barack Obama could get away with it because he was charming, because he had the backing of the media and on, and people wanted to believe, and they didn't want to understand what he was saying when he was going to fundamentally transform. Very few people said and utilized any kind of critical thinking in that statement to say, well, fundamentally transform from what to what? What are you talking about?
Well, exactly. You know, Bill, he had said that he admired President Ronald Reagan in his two terms because President Reagan endeavored a restoration of the United States, constantly referred to the founding principles, constantly prayed and said that no recovery of the United States could endure unless it was a spiritual recovery. And Obama, he admired that Reagan could achieve so much in redirecting the country back to its founding truths. And he said, I'm going to do the same thing, except in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did.
Well, you know, a lot can be said, because as you were sharing with us, what comes to mind repeatedly is in the book of Judges, it always talked about people beginning to see things according to their own eyes. And this is what America has done over the decades, is we've enjoyed prosperity to such lengths and extraordinary accomplishments, and that in that peaks, I should say, of accomplishment, we have decidedly and gradually turned our backs on God. And this is where I'm in alignment with people of faith in looking at the moral decay of our country. We're reaping what we've sown, and that cannot be denied. God said he will not be mocked, and I believe he's let America say, okay, fine, you can do it your way. How do you like yourself now?
Yeah, I mean, this has turned into some kind of fantasy land. The disconnection from reality, the inversion of the meaning of words, the justification of surgically disfiguring young women and young men in this transgender ideology, all based on this idea of radical individual autonomy. You know, this the one thing for sure is this is unsustainable.
Without a doubt.
And,
right.
And you cannot fool Mother Nature.
No. Well,
and,
they,
and this, yeah, this yeah, they operate they, this country
yeah.
down.
They operate in the theoretical, and this is what I used to say constantly during the Obama regime, is that there was very little fact base behind his statements and his policies. I could not find any examples of his policies where you could say, well, at least they're working over here in another type of democracy. I could not find it. I just found like he wanted to reinvent the wheel all the time, but take us down a different road.
That's because he was driven by an ideology rather than by immutable truths. And every ideology is a distortion of reality, just as communist ideology was, just as Nazi ideology was. So this radical liberal autonomy is just as destructive in its distortion of reality, which can be seen in its killing of unborn children and this surgical disfigurement of teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what and allowing what do you call them, drag queens?
Yes.
To give story hours to little children in public libraries. Now,
right.
This is a form of moral insanity, of a refusal to make distinctions about what leads to human flourishing and what undermines it. And I'll tell you the thing that I wrote another book for Ignatius.
We've got about 40 seconds left, Robert. Go ahead.
Well, it's just called Making Gay Okay.
Right.
How rationalizing homosexual misbehavior is changing everything. And I track how this is seeped through our culture in such a destructive way, and the logic carries over to the transgender and the cross-dressing and all the other nonsense.
Exactly. Well, Robert Reilly, America needs a wake-up call. It needs to be shaken. And hopefully and prayerfully, your book goes a long way to that end. The title of the book, America on Trial, it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Look forward to having you back, Robert. Appreciate the time.
Bill,
take care.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing. Mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
We've all seen and